Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Football Portal Podcast. My name is Jamie Smith and I'll be your guide, taking you through everything you need to know about getting started with fantasy football games. This podcast will be covering an introduction to fantasy football, so it should be particularly useful for those of you who are completely new to playing fantasy football, although hopefully people who have played the game before will also pick up some handy tips and hints, so please stick with us. I'll be talking about both seasonal fantasy football, which is the most traditional type of game mode on offer, and daily fantasy football, which is a relatively new invention, but it's taking off fast. We'll also be going through some basics about fantasy football, including the origins of the game, as well as looking at how it works, talking about point scoring and all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, let's get cracking. The first section of the podcast this week is about the history of fantasy football. The origins of fantasy football can be dated back over 50 years, with the game believed to have been invented by an American businessman named Wilfred Winkenbach. Winkenbach, who was often known as Bill, he was involved with the Oakland Raiders American football team, and with his friends he developed a system to rank American football players. They did this in a meeting held in the back room of a New York hotel, a slightly inauspicious start to a game that we all know and love today. Before long, Winkenbach had founded the first ever fantasy football league. It went by the catchy name of the Greater Oakland Professional Pigskin Prognosticators League. Very catchy. So he could compete against his friends. It would actually be a long time until the game came to be known as fantasy football. You'd think it was an obvious name, but apparently not to Bill and his friends. It was actually a long time until Bill's idea started to spread, but it wasn't just American football that it was used for. Soon, baseball fans were also using fantasy sports to compete against their friends, and it eventually spread to the UK and Europe and all around the world. The man who brought fantasy football to Europe was an Italian by the name of Riccardo Albini. He saw how successful fantasy sports had been in the US with American football and baseball, and a man called Andrew Weinstein brought fantasy sports to the UK. The UK is one of the most popular markets for fantasy football, in particular in the 21st century. Of course, technology has changed fantasy football forever. While Bill and his friends used to pretty much use paper and typewriters to come up with their systems, the internet takes care of all of that these days. The rise of the internet in the late 1990s, early 2000s, it led to an explosion in interest in fantasy football. New technology just made it so much easier to get involved with fantasy football. The fact that you can make changes to your team in an instant, on a screen, it just revolutionised fantasy sports. It was easier than ever to get started, and now millions of people around the world have fantasy football teams they look out for every single weekend. It's fair to say that the game has definitely come a long way from its humble beginnings in that back room of a New York hotel back in 1962. So what is fantasy football? If you've never played fantasy football, the idea of it can be a little bit perplexing. So let's really go down to basic stuff, and hopefully it'll make it all a bit more simple for you and you'll understand. Although today there's a lot of different types of fantasy football, the essence of the game always remains pretty much the same. Footballers are given points based on their statistical performance in real life games. For example, they'll earn points for contributions such as goals and assists. For defenders, that would be clean sheets. Goalkeepers, the same clean sheets. Fantasy football players who are signing up for either a seasonal game or a daily game get a budget to select their team. This will often be, say, £100 million as an example. And you've got to then balance that money between the goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders and attackers that you pick for your squad. Once you've picked a squad, you then get the opportunity to join leagues where you can compete against your friends, just like Bill Winkenbach and his mates did over 50 years ago. And progress can now easily be checked online, so you can check in using your smartphone, using your laptop, using your tablet and see how you're doing compared to your friends. Today there's a lot of prizes to be won as well for those who prove to be the best fantasy football players, and that's the case whether you're playing the seasonal game or the daily game mode. We'll come on to both of those in more detail a little bit later on in the podcast. There's two main types of fantasy football game to get to grips with, as I've just mentioned, daily fantasy football and seasonal fantasy football. Next up, I'll be looking at seasonal fantasy football, examining how it works and giving some very basic starter tips to help you pick a squad and get up and running. You'll be balancing the books and beating your friends in no time, hopefully, if you follow some of these tips and tricks. Despite the rising popularity of daily fantasy football games, seasonal fantasy football remains wildly popular today. Players pick their squad at the start of the football season, but you still get the chance to make changes to your teams ahead of each game week with a set number of transfers you can use. You'll usually get maybe one or two free transfers to use each week, and if you want to use more, that'll result in a points deduction from your points total, it gets a bit complicated after that, so we'll stick with the free transfers on the podcast for now. This means that you get the chance to freshen up your squad over the course of the season. For example, if you've got a player who gets injured, you can get rid of him and transfer somebody else in. If someone loses some form, again, you can drop them and bring in someone who's performed well. This is a really good way to keep interest in seasonal fantasy football going for the whole campaign. It means that rather than picking a squad that turns out to be not very good after a couple of weeks, it gives you a chance to catch up by making some astute transfers over the course of the season. There's a lot of prizes up for grabs in seasonal fantasy football, as I'm sure you're already aware. These can be for various things, really. The top point scorer in each game week will sometimes get a prize. The top point scorer over the course of a month might get a prize. But it's over the course of a season that you're normally playing for the big money and the big prizes. Of course, you can also make it interesting by competing against your friends in leagues. This is one of the major attractions of seasonal fantasy football, and it's what keeps people coming back to play the game every year, and the bragging rights that you can get from beating your friends at this game, it's second to none, really. When you come to set up your team, then the first thing you've got to do is put your players in place. There's a couple of different ways you can do this. Some fantasy football games have what's called draft mode, which assigns players to you almost at random, and then you just have to work with what you've got. But most will allow you to do it manually. So now I'm going to give you some very, very basic starter tips just to help get you going and ensure that you're not going to be lagging behind all your mates when you start joining leagues. While it can be very tempting to spend a lot of your cash on the big name players, it's not always the best idea to do this. A lot of other players will be doing the same thing. So if you think about picking a star player, if it turns out that 50-60% of players playing the same fantasy game have got that player, you're not going to get any further ahead than them. So you've got to achieve a balance. You also need to think about trying to spread your money around this whole squad as much as possible. It can be really tempting, and I've done this, I'm sure everyone who plays fantasy football has done this, to spend all your money on strikers, thinking that strikers are the most important part of the team. They're going to score all the goals, get you all your points, you don't have to think about the rest of the team. But that's not really the case. You can often get just as many points through picking defenders who get lots of clean sheets than strikers who score goals. So you need to be really careful how you spend your money. Don't just buy all the best strikers and then have to find some cheap bargains in defence to pad out the rest of your team. Overall, I'd say your goal is to try and find a mix between players who are established, seasoned fantasy football performers that pretty much guarantee that you're going to get a decent return of points over the course of the season, but also try and find some gambles, players that other fantasy football players might not have picked up on. You've got to find some little risks, as this is how you get ahead of the crowd. Now I'm going to move on and talk a little bit about daily fantasy football. Even players who play seasonal fantasy football might not be aware of daily fantasy football. It's been developed quite recently, but there is a lot of different websites out there now that offer this type of game. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here on the Fantasy Football Portal podcast telling you about how it works and why it's such a good option compared to seasonal fantasy football. Daily fantasy football works in much the same way as the seasonal game mode. Obviously, the main difference is that rather than competing against people from all over the world and your friends over the course of a whole season, the game takes place over a single game week or even a single day in some cases, hence the name Daily Fantasy Football. One of the problems with seasonal fantasy football is that it's easy to lose interest in your team over the course of the season, especially if you get off to a bad start. It can feel like there's too many points you've got to catch up, and it's easy to just forget about updating your team each week. So the benefit of Daily Fantasy Football is if you want to play every week and really spend a lot of time picking your team, this is a really good option. It allows you to be more engaged in football, and there's big prizes up for grabs as well that I'll come on to very shortly. One of the things that you need to keep in mind when you're picking a daily fantasy football team, it's the same for seasonal fantasy football as well, but probably more important for daily fantasy football, I would say, is the fixture list. So you want to pick players who are playing for teams that you think are going to win that weekend. Essentially, they're more likely to get points than teams that you think are going to lose. As you're only scoring points for one set of matches over a weekend, it's really important to think about which teams are expected to win, which players are going to do well for those teams, as those players are the ones who are going to get you the most points for your fantasy club. But again, as I said earlier, try not to just go for the obvious selections, as everybody else is going to go for those. You need to find some little risks, some gambles, players that maybe others aren't going to think about. Each daily fantasy football game has its own scoring rules, of course, but players can be expected to win points for a lot of the same things as the seasonal game. Your defenders and goalkeeper, they'll be looking for clean sheets to get points, while midfielders and strikers, it's goals and assists that you really want to pick up. However, there are often points deductions to be aware of as well. It's not just scoring positive points that you need to be aware of. If you have a player who scores an own goal, or misses a penalty, or gets a yellow card, or is sent off, the chances are that's going to lead to a points deduction, and it could affect your overall score for the game week. So that's something to keep in mind when you're picking your team as well. Joining leagues is a big part of daily fantasy football games, as well as the seasonal option. A lot of the daily fantasy football games on offer on the internet these days offer you the chance to buy into a league by paying a small entry fee. The money is then divided up among the winners once the action on the pitch is over, which means daily fantasy football can be quite rewarding actually if you get to be really good at it over time. On top of this, a lot of the daily fantasy football sites, they allow you to follow progress of the games in real time. You'll be able to see which players are scoring points, you'll be able to see how you're doing compared to everybody else. This makes it a really exciting way to follow football, as you can see exactly where you are in the leagues, see if you're in the running for those big prizes once all the action is over. Hopefully this podcast has been useful. It's been the first of our podcasts here at the Fantasy Football Portal, and as an introduction to fantasy football, I hope we've been able to give you some handy hints and all the information you need to have the confidence to get started with playing either seasonal fantasy football or daily fantasy football. If you still want to learn more before signing up and starting your teams, check out the Fantasy Football Portal for lots of guides and articles, all the tips and tricks you need to get the best out of your fantasy football teams. That's all for now. Goodbye.